Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. Just talking about the Declaration of Independence and all these wonderful things, and we're going to talk all between now and the 4th of July. We're going to talk about our independence. We're going to talk about, you know, things. We're going to share with you even the history of our national anthem and the flag and all that. But first, I want to say this that we were able to get the information together that was being revealed to us on the air Friday in regards to Simon and Simon the Sorcerer. You got to go to VFN TV blog. I mean, it was amazing how God just dropped that in our spirit. Mm-hmm. And if you go there right now, remember we were talking about, and you can go back and hear it. It's called Simon the Sorcerer. Simon question Sorcerer, mark. Right. You know, asking question it, mark. About Simon. Oh, Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell, right. Which was the founder of
American Idol.
Right. All these different talent shows around the world. You know.
But Simon Cowell, Simon the Sorcerer, question mark, the X Factor.
Yeah, the X Factor, and that's the gift. They find the gifts of God. You got to hear it. You can go there at the VFN TV blog, and you can see it, and you can listen to it. But on there, we have the information, what we talked about. You know, it was just stuff that's being dropped into to my spirit when I was talking. But you can see, you know, the four, one, two, three, four, five of the young men that he found and he scouted out. He found they had talents. He put them together as a group. Mm-hmm. But then he actually put what appears to be blood on every one of them. And we have a picture, all five of, and we're actually, you know, our heart goes out to these young men, and we pray that will be given the desires of the heart in regards to the things of God, and that they would know him. And we're talking about, you know, the concept, the spirit behind that, because we're looking not at the world as much as we're saying the church is doing the same thing.
Right.
You know, and these young boys obviously were looking for somebody to recognize their talent, and they had to go to Simon the possible sorcerer to do that, because the church was intimidated by their talent or didn't know how to move the maverickness to the usefulness and meekness of that we do in fathering and mothering. Anyway, and so in there, you know, at some point, they once he got them together, maybe their third performance or something, they come out and they start singing a song that has nothing to, if you look at the lyrics of the song, it has nothing to do with blood, Halloween, or anything like that. And then the video, you have a video in there, you can see the video, and it has a time code, snapshot of the time code, so you can hear one of the judges say, "This was really great, I really liked it, this was good, but I don't understand what Halloween had to do with this." And look at the face of Simon when he looks at him like, "No, you're not bringing this up."
Mm-hmm.
Because this is all his show. This is all his thing, you know?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then you can see the young boys singing the song on there as well. There's two segments of that actually happening. You can hear the judge saying what he said. Mm-hmm. And then the one that comes from, I guess, their program for the compliments of YouTube. You can see that's all on YouTube. But you see it all put together with the scripture, you know, that where the Lord tells us that we can be led astray, that the enemy will try to offer us splendor and all these different things, and we can't sell out God for stuff and things and power. And we have to understand, we have to be willing to humble ourselves, because it's not about this life, it's for the life to come. And if you're fighting for splendor and power and all this different stuff, you're missing the whole thing. Somebody preached to you another Jesus. Because he said, pick up your cross and follow him. But, you know, but then we have to be fathers. We have to be, it doesn't mean that, you know, you can be a father that has children that are not listening, but how you know they're not going to listen if you don't father them first?
That's
you know,
right.
Give them a chance to have some sort of paradigm, some sort of grid.
Right.
And the Word of God says, if you train them up in the way they should go when they get old, so you don't always know what old means, you know. But in that, they were going to Simon. I mean, when you see, because we saw that video, we saw that Friday after, you know, we had to go find out what's God saying.
Yeah, right.
And they're running to him like a dad.
Wow.
They were looking for his approval.
Mm-hmm.
We got to put one more video on there, because the one video we didn't put on there, when he went to his house, when he went to Simon's house, and they were doing, I don't know what it's called, but they were segment. They went to the house, and they were waiting, and they were using their gift, and they were waiting to see if he would approve of their gift or not. Was he going to allow them to make it or not? And they were singing for their souls. And this was prior to the blood sacrifice looking thing there. And so is the issue them, or is really the issue the church, that we are doing the same thing? I mean, how many people take a gift and build things around a gift instead of be willing to build it around Jesus and face the reality everybody doesn't want Jesus? We want them to want Jesus, but when you preach just Jesus, you find out how many people want Jesus and how many don't.
That's right.
You know, despite what he's doing.
Right.
So we've seen miracles. We've seen people fall dead. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen wild things happen. Hmm. We've seen things that's like, okay, you know, you see that happening. That's not good.
That's called a clue. This would be a good time to turn to God.
Yeah,
that's
Yeah, you know, you're sitting here going, oh my goodness. Okay. So the last 30 days, God's been having you in your dreams hanging over a fire.
Oh,
God. I'm trying to figure out what that actually means. He's warning you. Oh, my goodness. First of all, thank God he's talking to you, because he could just not warn you. It means he loves you.
Right.
You know, Job 33 says, does not God warn a man? Does he not warn him in his deep sleep? Does not he come right beside your bed as an angel and say, listen, if you don't turn away, then this is where it's going to go. That's a loving God going, I don't want you to perish outside of me. I mean, he loves you and has a plan for your life. But, you know, if you're having dreams of being hung over, he's telling you this is your future outside. I don't know. You could tell me, John, who this is. Maybe it's Leonard Ravenhill. But he said, God will often take a man and hang him over the pits of hell and the fire of hell and then bring him back to use him. I think it was Leonard Ravenhill. Either that or
I'm
Jonathan.
Not sure, but it sure sounds like Ravenhill.
because you got to know hell's real. I will never forget Kingdom Kids, his daughter, help me out, Van Lane. Van Lane's daughter, and the power of God was moving at the Brownsville Revival, and it was early on in the days, and she, God showed her hell. God showed her hell, and she began to weep, and she began to cry, and and she began to prophesy, a young little girl at that time. Mm-hmm. She's older now. And she was weeping because she saw people going to hell. She saw them falling into the pits of hell, the lake of fire, you know, which broadsided everybody else who's sitting there going, this is having a good time.
Right.
And, you know, every day, you know, 100,000 or so people are dying, and they're going to one or two places. I like to look at it this way. Imagine if you have an egg crate. An egg crate of a dozen eggs has like 12 little slots in it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then imagine cutting a little hole out of the bottom of those egg crates. So you still have the egg crate, but if you put something in that particular one of those 12 pockets, it just falls right through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Is that kind of hard to explain? Yeah. Okay. And so they're not going to hold anything, right?
No.
But there is something there.
Mm-hmm.
But then imagine underneath that, a big bin. Some big metal bin, and it only has two slots in it. It has a right slot and a left slot. And so, and imagine having a whole bunch of marbles, and you just drop them into this egg crate that holds 12 eggs. And they're all in different denominations. I mean, they're all in different, you know, little, you know, areas of expression, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when you come out of that, it's going to fall in one slot or the other slot.
Wow.
It's going to fall in heaven or hell.
That's right.
It's going to be yes to Jesus or no to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, all and these things. Go ahead.
And the truth about that, too, is that, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but not everybody is in a better place.
No.
You know, we need to get real and be honest with people and say, you know what? Not everyone's in a better place. There is a reality. Yeah. Of heaven and hell. This is why we're preaching the way we're preaching and sharing the word of God and sharing the
Why
love
else
of God.
Will we do that? My goodness, you know.
Say that again.
Why else will we even do this?
Hello. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know? With fear and trembling.
Yeah.
There are eternal consequences for our life.
Yeah.
And so not everybody's there. We can wish them there. We can hope they're there. And that might help. You know, I can understand. Recently, I was helping a family, ministering to them. And there was someone in an extended family that thought they were consoling the family by telling them, you know, well, at least you know they're in a better place. And I got what the person was trying to do. I understand that they were trying to bring some sort of relief to this family that was mourning a significant loss. But the reality is that that was a lie. It was a lie in this particular case. You know, I went to a funeral one time, and the preacher that was sharing said, listen, why would you be so cruel and put someone in heaven? They didn't want to do anything with God here. They rejected his word here. They rejected his truth. They didn't want to be anywhere around the Lord. Why would you be so cruel? What do you think we're going to be doing there? And we have to be real about this. God loves everyone. He didn't create a hell for us, created for the demons and Satan. He wants us to be with him, but we have to choose. We have to choose, and we have to share the truth. We can't just wish someone into heaven or just, you know, hope that they're there. You're either in or you're out, and close is not in.
Right.
Close is still out.
Yeah, that's right. Pregnant's pregnant, right?
That's right. Uh-huh.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
If you've ever wished that your husband was more active in spiritual leadership, it might be that he is, but you're just not noticing. I'm John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Julie Slattery.
Look for the ways that your husband is leading spiritually. Does your husband get up and go to church every Sunday or most Sundays? Say thank you for that. View that as spiritual leadership. Does he pray before a meal? That is spiritual leadership. Is he providing financially? Is he choosing to flip the channels when something immoral comes on? And I began to see that my husband was leading me in ways that I had never recognized.
A little affirmation goes a long way in the success of every marriage. So today, choose to focus on the positive. Look for those things you appreciate in your spouse and let him know. You'll find more trusted advice to help your relationship at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
If you have not yet thought about, if you haven't thought about going to the next level in God, meaning going, learning more about God, diving into the depths of what God has for you. Listen, the Great Commission is not the great suggestion, no matter what anybody's told you. And we do answer alone, no witnesses, no suspects before the throne of God. But despite all that, you're called and designed by God. You've been given a certain measure of talents to invest in his kingdom, to be able to bring an interest, a dividend back to the king. What does that mean? Sowing your life and what God's given you into other people. If that's you, do you feel like you have a call on your life? A call on your life, and you need to see, I don't know what to do or how to do it. And what I see right now, what's happening seems kind of hard to do. They're talking like $1.3 million building projects and $1.3 million per baptized believer in the church in America. They're talking about, I said, how can I do it? Listen, that's just all religion. Be at peace. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Simple fishermen can obey God. Find out more today at Vine Fellowship Network University. Go to VFNU.org. VFNU.org.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search and your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. Every generation has their pioneers. They're pioneers to be able to take that generation into or protect and bring about whatever that is in that generation, but also in the kingdom of God. And it's just so, so very important. We're thinking and looking back at those who have been pioneers in the past. You think about it. It takes a pioneer in each generation to be able to do this. And the question is, of course, always, who are the pioneers for that generation? And when you think about it, pioneers are taking people to a place that exists only in their heart. And you know, they're carriers. They're carriers. They understand. When you think about Apple, and it was inside of its founder, and he had to constantly keep his hand on the helm and do a pioneering work. Whether it's good or evil, we will find out in the long run. But their logo is an apple with a bite out of it, but it sure is a good technology.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, just think about the pioneers. So the pioneers, these are people. Pioneers are not people that are saying, just tell me what to do and I'm just going to do it. Pioneers are willing to go where no man has gone before. Pioneers are willing to pick up where the last pioneers left off. And they're not looking to relive what was done already, you know, give me that old-time religion. They're actually looking at taking it to the next level. You know, God, I don't have to believe you for this because this has already happened already.
Right.
I mean, you think about it, even in the context of America, that George Washington, General George Washington, President George Washington, he was a pioneer. I mean, one day everybody was, you know, under Great Britain, you know, in which the sun never set on its kingdom. It was so huge. And the people who were in America in the 13 colonies, they were British. They were British, but one day it became self-evident that it was time to be pioneers and do a pioneering work, which we're living in today, by the way, what was in the heart of General George Washington and a few others that said, you know what, we got to have representative government. The king is not over the church. We need to be able to worship freely. We need to be able to assure that tyranny won't happen again. You know, these concepts and ideas, and it's just a battlefield of ideas, and America is an idea. But it was in the hearts of these pioneers that said, we're willing to do it. And they understood that hey, if you're not successful, you know, it's not going to be good for you. You're not going to make it. But the truth is they didn't want to live where they were. They were driven by the pioneering spirit in their heart. They were carriers of a dream, of a vision, of an idea of what we call the United States of America today. But it wasn't. It wasn't at that time. At that time, it was just an idea. Listen, this is not right, what's going on. We need to step out of what we're doing. This is insanity. We keep complaining, but yet we're doing the same thing over and over again. And they stepped out and they began to say, you know, they got what they call a ragtag army together. And they said, they wrote a letter to the king and said, listen, we are declaring our independence. We call it a Declaration of Independence. And they listed what 27 reasons why. I mean, it's just no-brainer idea. This is why, you know. And they're being very respectful and very honorable, but saying, listen, all of our rights come from God, and that everybody has them. And we're just gonna go for it. We're gonna go for it. We're ready to go for it. And it just existed in the hearts of these few men, and they knew that everything was gonna be against them, almost.
Everything was on the line.
I mean, think about it. The church was not, because the church was also Great Britain, because the king was over it. If you left the church, if you decided, hey, I'm gonna switch churches and left the Church of England, they consider that treason. Mm-hmm. That's like leaving the country. That's why you go to Germany today. People talk about the church in Germany, but the government's over it. It's the largest Catholic church in the world there, but they're the ones that collect the tithe. The government collects the tithe. And by joining the church, they say, you know, you are a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my goodness, listen, we don't want to lose this. Anyway, so he was a pioneer. He's a pioneer, and right now we just have followers. People say they're not followers because it just doesn't sound cool, but the truth is, it's just one big herd of followers. You know, they're just gonna, people just look who they want to follow. As a matter of fact, they even have Twitter, and Twitter is about what?
Following.
Followers. Mm-hmm. Who are you gonna follow? Who are you gonna follow? Who are you gonna follow? And the thing is, like, what about you? Think about this, Think about more so, you know, in closer to our time, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a minister in Georgia. You know, that he was a pioneer. He believed that that it was time to apply the Constitution to every man in America. He didn't favor one over another. He just said, listen, there needs to be justice for everybody, including the African American, who was not being treated fairly and didn't, their constitutional rights were being denied. And he just began to be a pioneer. I mean, I think about the commitment card when he had people that would join him in his standing up for civil rights and doing what's right. I love it. We got to make this part of the torch. But yet, we have to have the mindset, because we're gonna have to be pioneers in this generation. You don't quit. You know, when somebody says, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But listen to this pledge. This is the pledge that he had everybody sign. This is the commitment card. If you were going to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King, a minister, a Christian, you had to sign this. You put your name, your address on it, your next relative, and all this kind of stuff on it. But the first thing he says, I hereby pledge myself. And these are the ones for those generations that don't know, many don't know in this generation, that you hear in your history books, but it's real, that the African-American was not only enslaved, but once the Emancipation Proclamation was signed and the executive order from President Lincoln, that there still was racism rampant all over this country, injustices, you know, things like separate but equal, and they were, you know, it was just evil, pride, racism, and all this. And so there wasn't fair justice for all. Everybody didn't get the fair justice. And so he said, listen, there needs to be civil rights for all, for everyone. And he's a minister. He did it in the love of God. And this is the mindset we're going to have. We're going to have to be a pioneer. But, you know, we can grab a hold of what, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King had in his heart, and just listening to his niece talk. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, and she's a minister today. But you had to sign this pledge. This is the pledge you have to sign. If you're going to march with me, if you're going to walk down the same street with me, if you're going to say you're part of what we're doing, this is what you had to sign. I hereby pledge myself, my person and body, to the nonviolent movement. Mm. Think about it. Very first thing. Therefore, I will keep the following 10 commandments. Number one, meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus.
Wow.
You know, you had to abide to be with Dr. King.
Wow.
Is that not awesome?
Yeah.
It's like, you're not marching with me. I don't have it. Go through those commitment cards. Go through that Rolodex. So, you know, back then you had Rolodexes. So. Go on a fight. No, Malcolm, you're not part of this because you're violent, right?
All right.
No, yeah. No, Black Panthers, you're not part of this because you're violent. But what I'm doing, you got to sign a commitment card here. Mm. And the first thing says, you got to be abiding with Jesus. Mm. Is that beautiful?
Yeah.
So everybody that was legitimately a part of that movement of civil rights movement that what Dr. King was leading, he's a pioneer now. He said, you know, he put this card together, and people have to, commitment card. So the first thing was meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus. The second one is to remember always that the nonviolent movement over, he's going to reiterate that, because the fact is that, you know, as Christians, and he was a Christian, you know, when you read the Quran talks about making preparations for war. That's totally opposite of us. We don't make preparations to war in the name of Jesus. Although the Crusaders got way off in the Dark Ages, that was wrong. Mm-hmm. And we're just supposed to walk like Dr. King set an example to be able to walk. But he's, and obviously like Jesus, he's, remember always, this is the second one. This is the commitment card for walking with Dr. King and what he was doing. Remember always that the nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory.
Oh, wow.
How many times I saw these guys, you know, they label everything, but they label, you know, this is the conservative movement. You know, I wish, you know, but and all of a sudden something succeeds, and the arrogance and the pride and the victory marches, and it's like, you know, is that what we really want as Christians? Now, I'm not talking about people that aren't Christians, but as Christians, mm-hmm. Dr. King said, listen, that's just beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if anybody, the injustices that was happening to the African American, that happened to, in his sight, I mean, it's a horrific thing that happened to him, but just happened for, since the beginning of America. And he said, we're not trying to aim for victory. Listen, as Christians, victory's already been received for us on the cross of Christ. Mm-hmm. So when there is, you know, we've already won already. Now we're supposed to walk rightly before the Lord. So he says, remember, this is number two, remember always that the nonviolent, and listen, you got to get this, because don't let the bully pulpit of Washington get you to do wrong things. I don't know what the particular title of that segment is, but you got to don't swing. Don't let them push you to do evil, because this is Dr. King's got it. He has it right here. Remember always that this nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory. And justice is beautiful. I mean, God says in his word, he says, no one cries for justice. Oh. And that's where we are today. And the reason why I believe that men do not cry for justice, because they feel like they're going to be having given a life sentence because they're sinful. You're sinful. We don't understand that justice was served out on the cross of Christ. So when we begin to cry for justice, it runs us to the cross of Christ, because in Romans chapter 5, God said, to prove that I'm a just God and the one who justifies at just the right time, I offered up my son as a sacrifice. So justice, when you begin to cry for justice, you start looking, you know, it may start off where you're pointing your finger at somebody else, and then you'll have this Holy Spirit flash of your need for a savior and your sin, and you just start running. Oh my goodness, this cross I'm preaching, I better run to it quickly.
Which way to the cross?
Yeah, have you seen the cross? No, not in that church. Anyway, so, and I think that's beautiful. So when we understand that, once we can cry for justice, which is putting things back in their godly, rightly order. Number three on the commitment card for being able to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and this card was written, by the way, in 1963. It's pretty interesting to me. That happened to be the year that I was born.
That's right.
Oh, now you know I'm not 29. Anyway, so, and then he says, number three is walk and talk in the manner of love, for God is love. Mm. I'm like, yeah, this dude was so awesome that you want to hang out with his niece.
Yeah.
And then, isn't that amazing? You know,
yeah.
He's like, you were hanging around with him. I mean, people have used him and promoted themselves off of him, but the people that walked in the same spirit as this, you know, with him, are they're just, it's just beautiful. And this is it. And this conservative movement, we need to go back, and we need to have Ronald Reagan. No, you don't have Ronald Reagan. You need to have Dr. King. We need to go back and look at Dr. King, not Dr. Ronald Reagan, and go look at Dr. King and say, that's who we need to, the church now. We need to model ourselves after him, mm-hmm. and what he stood for and what he walked for, because it was beautiful. And it was horrific, but his heart was beautiful. Number four in the commitment card that you have to sign if you're going to walk with Dr. King is pray daily to be used by God in order that all men might be free. I mean, think about that. Do you know Dr. King today, based on that commitment, he probably would be disturbed over the fact that we're turning over all these nations to radical Islam and putting people under servitude, because that's the opposite of what he wanted. Mm-hmm. It's not what he wanted. He was wanting freedom for all men. For all men. Isn't that beautiful? And it's like, you know, we're not okay with just putting people in captivity. That's not what we want, them to be free. And then number five is, because Jesus came to set us free, right?
Right.
Then we have number five on the commitment card to walk with Dr. King is sacrifice personal wishes in order that all men might be free. Well, number four was daily pray to be used by God in order that all men might be free. Now, number five is now you're praying about all men being free. I want you to sacrifice personal wishes in order that all men might be free. What does that mean? Well, just lay down your life.
Right.
Lay down. If your generation has to lay down for the next generation. And when you hear people say things, and I admit, you got to be a fool not to understand what's going on in America, because there's a lot of complicated issues going on right here because of the mistreatment of the African American in America, that you can't just throw a blanket statement over this. Somebody would said one particular, I'm not going to say who it was, just made this statement. They said, it's not about Obama, it's about your mama. And what he's saying was, my mama's been mistreated. My mama had to do this. My mother had to do that. She marched with Dr. King. She got all these freedoms. She stood up for what's right. She went to jail. She did all these different things. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. And we're a fool not to get that. But then we have to bring that in the paradigm of, okay, But let's look at everything. That are we meditating on the teachings of Jesus? Is this the right direction that we're going? You know what I'm saying? So right. it's very complicated, and it's complicated in the context that we're getting turned in on ourselves. What's happening is just all kind of turning in on ourselves. And our hope is right here, what we're reading from Dr. King's pledge card and the Word of God. But then he says in number six, he says, observe, I really believe that our president right now, President Barack Obama, you know, based on a study of his life done by a professor in a New York university, I don't know if it's Christ's King, I don't know what
King's.
Say it again?
King's College
in New York. I think he did a documentary on his life, Obama 2016, I believe it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel really empathetic. You can understand, oh. But then you start thinking, wait a minute, this is not your experience. He does not have the African-American experience in America. It's not his experience. That's the African-American's experience.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not part of that. You know what I'm saying? And there, right. This is what I believe. I believe this. I feel it in my heart. I believe that the prophetic word spoken by Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, where he said, because of the oppression of the African-American, that the revival, and I'm believing a third great awakening would come to America being led by the African-American people in America. But see, what happens first is the counterfeit shows up first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe he has the same story. You know, Kechara and I were talking about that at the gathering, and she was reminding me of my own words, and she's right, that, you know, born wherever, lived, you know, Indonesia and Kenya and, you know, all these areas. And that's not the American experience. That's not the person who's coming from generations, as did most of the African-Americans that are American. So I believe, you know, I want you to hold on. Don't slam your doors on what the enemy's trying to twist. Be ready for what God's going to do to the African-Americans in America. It's going to be exciting, I believe. But in the context of that, I mean, look what he did through Dr. King as we're talking now. Then number six in the commitment card that you have to sign to be able to walk with Dr. King was observe with both friend and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy.
Hmm.
So you had to be nice not only to your friends.
Mm, to your enemy.
But you had to be nice to that. Oh my goodness. I mean, if you watch the videos and the pictures and this guy standing with a billy club over your daughter.
Yeah.
Who signed this card. So she's going like, oh, what was the card? Da, 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 da. She's thumbing through her mind. What was this commitment again?
Mm.
You know, and then she's
a dog on a leash.
Oh yeah. And then the dogs and the fire hoses. Fire hose.
Yeah.
And you're struggling with, am I willing to lay down my life? Am I willing? This is how we, the church, are going to have to do, because Dr. King, part of the church, you know, minister in the gospel, a Christian, he understood, and look what he did. He turned an entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it cost him his life, and we have to be willing to do that. I mean, there's a reason why streets and holidays and everything is named after Dr. King, because he made a pioneer that says, listen, it is just time. And so then not only observe, number six, observe with both friends and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy. We were just talking about the 10 commitments, the 10 commandments on the commitment card to be able to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And they're just powerful, powerful. Aren't they powerful commitments?
Yeah, powerful. I mean,
this is the heart we have to have. If we're going to transform, you know, ourselves, if we're going to transform a nation back to where its original intent, just holding them to what's on the paper, as Dr. King said, you know, we need to take the same mindset. As a man, those that have walked before, he says, imitate those that have gone before. He's a pioneer,
mm-hmm.
a pioneer. We need pioneers for this generation. You know, what does it demand from us? And I look at the seventh of the 10 commandments, the commitment card that you had to be able to sign. It says, seek to perform regular service for others and for the world.
Mm.
Is that why? It's like, oh wow. My goodness, how beautiful are these 10 commandments to be able to be a part of the civil rights movement with Dr. King.
Mm.
It's just beautiful, beautiful. The eighth one is refrain from the violent fist, tongue, or heart.
Mm.
Wow.
That's just beautiful, isn't it?
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, we were just talking about that, you know, the bully pulpit, be careful. And mm-hmm. he totally, this is an apostle. This is a pioneer. Yeah. Dr. King was a pioneer, an apostle, and that all the evil strongholds that had racism and all that stuff hated what this man was standing for, which he's standing for God and what was right and freeing a people from oppression and wow. and racism and injustice. And so then the ninth commandment of the commitment card walking with Dr. King was strive to be in good spirit and bodily health. Think about it. Strive, in other words, make an effort to, when we're walking down the street together, I mean, you got to do some physical exertions here. Where if we're gonna do what we have to do to stand for what's right for the Constitution and do what's right before and treat all men well and all these commandments he's talking about, then we got to be in physical health. We're gonna do some walking. We're gonna be pressed together in different situations, and you just don't know. I mean, you know, we can be so out of shape that we just step off a curve and throw our back out. That's a little ridiculous. You know, we got to get in the physical and spiritual health for what's about to take place. And I encourage you to begin to think about, you know, make sure your body's able to handle where we're going. Make sure your spirit is strong enough to do what you got to do what God's called us to do in our generation. And then finally, this pioneer, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the 10th commandment of the commitment card you had to sign to be able to walk alongside him. And this totally throws out all these twisted mindsets that the people are trying to change what his heart was. He says to follow the directions of the movement and of the captain of a demonstration. In other words, you had to be a person under authority. Mm. You had to, can't just go do your own. I mean, who's leading this particular event, this movement, and then you follow them. Isn't that great?
Wow.
That's good.
And then you would put your name, your address, your phone, your nearest relative, and their address. Think about that. And what is the doctor, when you go into the doctor's office or you go into a hospital or an ambulance or something, what do they say? Well, who's your nearest of kin, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't know if you're going to make it or not. You don't know if you're going to make it or not. I mean, if you're going into a place of danger, a place where you're going to be threatened and you're going to be peaceful, Jesus, we saw, he got nailed to a cross.
Yeah.
You know, we saw what happened to Dr. King. We saw what happened to many of our brothers and sisters in America, and understand that they were ready. They were ready to lay down their lives for the cause. And then it says, besides, in the very bottom of the card, it says, besides demonstrations, I could also help the movement by, and it says, circle the proper items, run errands, drive my car, fix food for volunteers, clerical work, make phone calls, answer phones, mimeograph, that's like make copies, everybody.
Okay.
Type, that's keyboarding, type, print signs, and distribute pamphlets or leaflets. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
That's
wow.
Totally awesome. And it's going to take pioneers. It's going to take pioneers to be able to do. He's an apostle, a minister, a Christian, a beloved son of the Lord, obviously, that God would touch him in such a way to just shake a nation and bring justice back. And listen, that's his heart. And that's wow. God's heart. What he put on that card, that is God's heart. And so I'm not saying that God was lining up with Dr. King. I'm saying Dr. King was lining up with God.
Right.
And so not to line up with that is us not to line up with God. That is the mindset we're going to have. I'm going to talk about so much more in a moment. About a pioneering spirit. But you got to think about this. Think about this. In the extra hour, I'll be talking more about this. But it's going to take a pioneering spirit. Think about definition of a pioneering spirit is somebody that's got something inside of them that nobody else has inside of them. And they're going to be the ones that carry it there. The definition of a pioneering spirit is a person or a group that is the first to do something or to lead in the developing of something new. Let me say it again. A pioneer is a person or a group that is the first to do something or that leads in the developing of something new, or a person who is one of the first from another country or a region to explore or to settle in a new area. And the last definition is a foot soldier whose duties include going ahead of the main company to construct things to pave the way for them. I mean, that's what Dr. King was, a foot soldier for God, to be able to prepare the way, what I believe is the third great awakening, what's going to be happening in America. And there's so much I want to share with you. There's so much more. Listen, maybe you are that pioneer. Maybe that's who you are. I want you to join me in the extra hour. I'm going to go on talking about this pioneering spirit because we've got so many pioneers that have gone before us. But the question is, who are the pioneers in this generation? You know, it's time for the pioneers to rise up in this generation, right?
That's right.
You know, think about it. We're talking about pioneers and different pioneers, and we talked about, you know, George Washington and General George Washington, President George Washington. He's not on our dollar bill because he was just the first president. He's on the dollar bill because they were gonna call him king. I mean, he was the one that was a pioneer that was willing just to do what it took to be able to bring about this great idea called the United States of America. And then we started thinking about more closer to our day and time is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a pioneer. I'm a minister of the gospel in Georgia, but just an apostolic call on him to be able to do a pioneering entrepreneurial work in the kingdom of God, to be able to stand up for justice for all. And it was just beautiful. We talked about that in the first hour right there, and I'm just pumped about it. But I want to say I'm excited about, you know, John Carney's going to be joining me from Oregon today. Hopefully we'll be able to share with you some comments. Maybe he's going to spend some time with us sharing how God is using him in Russia and in Africa. So look forward, hopefully, to John Carney, my brother, being able to share his heart with us. So you think about a pioneer. You know, Dr. King was a pioneer. George Washington, President George Washington, General George Washington was a pioneer. He was the first general and also the first soldier in an army that didn't exist.
Wow.
You know, where's all the soldiers? Well, I haven't asked you to join yet. The question is, will you join me in this battlefield of ideas? Will you join me in this pioneering work? Well, I'll join you when, you know, you got like a nation or something around you, George, right? And this is like, well, that's not pioneering work. That's a follower. Pioneers, yeah. They say, listen, you got to have it in your heart, and they carry it. And I want to say the definition of a pioneer, because it's going to take a pioneer in this generation. We know about pioneers in past generations, but who are the pioneers in this present generation? A pioneer is a person or a group that is the first to do something or that leads into the development of something new. George Washington, Dr. King, right? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. A person who is one of the first from another country or region to explore or settle a new area. I mean, think about this. I mean, think about the pioneers in America when basically everything was in the settlement of America was the east side of the Mississippi. But when the Louisiana Purchase came, there was people that said, listen, I want to be a pioneer. I want to be a pioneer. I want to go west of the Mississippi. And they began to go where no man other than the First Nation people had already gone there. And they're going to begin to settle and develop. And they look at a whole forest of trees and say, what do you see? And some people say, I see a forest of trees. But a pioneer says, I see houses. I see a city. I see lumber, you know. And then somebody else says, you know, I see that over there, this ground. What do you see there? Somebody says, I see a field. And he says, man, I see food for the next 50 years.
Mm. Mm.
And then somebody else says, what do you see out there? He says, I see wild animals. He says, I see protein that's going to be able to provide for our people here. A pioneer just sees things totally different. And somebody who's not a pioneer goes, I see a lot of work.
All right.
And then a pioneer says, I see hope because we need to be able to settle in this new area. And because of those pioneers, by the way, for our listeners that are listening, everybody west of the Mississippi, those pioneers, that's why we have states like California and Nevada and New Mexico and Texas and North Dakota and South Dakota and Kansas. I mean, go on today and name all those states. That was west of the Mississippi.
You think about it, California is the fifth largest economy in the world. It wouldn't even existed
right
today.
Outside
nobody
of pioneers.
Went west.
That's right. Outside of pioneers, right?
That's right.
What's going to exist in the future? If we take this call, if we decide to be the pioneer, you understand, to be a pioneer, I mean, you don't have a whole bunch of people around you. You're the one looking at people saying, listen, come on over. Listen, what you're doing is not going to work much longer. Come on over. This is where we're supposed to be. This is the new settlement. So in the same way, when you think about it, and we talked about in the natural sense of those pioneers like Edison and and Einstein in the natural sense, the Louisiana Purchase. Think about those in the spiritual realm. I mean, think about it. Here was, you know, mankind. They were, you know, populated the earth and just doing a lot of bad things. And then all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, God speaks to one man. He puts in the heart of this one man a vision for something different. His name was Abraham. And Abraham believed God. He says, okay. And he had to believe him from the inside because there was nothing on the outside yet. Mm-hmm. That's a pioneer. And then he says, you know, he believed God. And God says, man, I'm going to account that to you as you were just in right standing with me. You're just, I mean, the fact that you were willing to be a pioneer for me. Mm-hmm. And he began to walk where he didn't even know where he was going. As he went, God was going to show him when he got there. And God was going to speak him on the journey. And he's going to go to a place that of where infertility was rampant in his relationship with his wife. They could not have any children at all. And God was talking to him. He's going to have so many children that you can't even count. If you can count the stars in the sky and the sand at the beach, for example, or in the desert, then you can count his children. He's like, I can't even have one. But he was a pioneer. He believed God against all odds, even against all hope, and hope he still believed. And listen, as a pioneer, you got to be that person. When you're marching down the street like Dr. King, you have to understand, he didn't know if that was going to be his last moment. But you know what? When he said he'd been to the mountaintop, I believe he had an encounter just like Abraham had. He had something inside of him that he knew had the outcome, the ultimate outcome of what he was doing. Right. He wasn't looking just for a natural land. He was looking for a spiritual land. He says, I've been to the mountaintop. I've already seen what it looked. And he began to describe the visual of America today, which was not like the America then. Yeah. And in the context of that, so Abraham, you know, began to walk that out, and he was a pioneer. And because he was a pioneer, God was able to pull from himself a people outside of the present population that was on the face of the earth, and they became the apple of his eye, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob is Israel. We see Israel today. But that was because Abraham was a pioneer. He was willing to step out where nobody else has stepped out before, in a place that you don't even have a grid for, to follow God, who's going to show you when to get there because you've got this vision inside of you. Isaac and Jacob were walking off the faith of Abraham because it was Abraham who stepped out. If he didn't step out, even though Isaac and Abraham may have been born, for example, they would have been in the culture that God wanted them to separate from, and they would have become just like everybody else. A pioneer is willing to go where God wants them to go so God can do what he wants to do. When you think about Joseph, I mean, Joseph, here he is just tending his father's sheep, doing what he can, but all of a sudden, God just drops in his spirit a vision of his future and what's going to happen. He began to share it, and it just took a hold of him. And then this pioneer named Joseph was willing to go through great suffrage. You think about it, great suffrage with the betrayal of his brothers and bondage of enslavement, being wrongly accused of a sexual crime and then imprisoned for it. His credit being stolen when he was in jail, but yet he gave the interpretation of the dream. But when the cupbearer goes before the one that could have got him out, he didn't even bring his name up. I mean, he was a pioneer. He was carrying inside of him something that was going to be used by God to be able to be number two. Here he's a prisoner, accused of a sex crime he didn't commit, but it was written over his head. Mm-hmm. And he was in prison, rejected by his brothers, but he's going to be the number two guy in Egypt in the future. Yeah. I mean, he was going to be Morsi Jr. You know what I'm saying? He was going to be the number two guy. And you just, how could this ever be? But he's a pioneer. He was a pioneer. See, he stayed faithful to God through all of that. And that's what a pioneer does. When all these things are happening and all these things are coming against you, a true pioneer goes, well, I'm just not going to do it then because, you know, forget about everything west of the Mississippi. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to live over here in New York, or I'm just going to live over here. And, you know, it's like, no, a pioneer is like, I'm driven. I'm going to stay faithful to God. Even when everything inside of me or outside of me looks the opposite, I believe on the inside of me, what's inside of me is going to come out. And even to the point when he stood before Pharaoh, he was just willing to be faithful to God. And they chose him to be able to be the second in command because he interpreted the dream, because Pharaoh told him the Lord had shown him that there's going to be famine in the land. And here he was, the pioneer that was going to be the first pioneering food pantry for Israel. Wow. This huge gathering of food where everybody began to bring food in, and he's the one that measured it out and kept it, and just everything started coming in. And then all of a sudden God speaks to bring his family who are out in the wilderness, and they begin to come closer. And then all of a sudden, this pioneer is doing exactly what was inside of him. He's taking care of his brothers, his father, and all their families, and he's even got a place of protection for them. He's got the authority to be able to do it, and they're more than glad to fulfill the dream. At first, they didn't want anything to do with what God had said, but they were more than happy to bow at his feet and say, you know what? Don't kill us. We're cool with that, right? And then he says, what you meant for evil, you know, God meant for good, and he understood that. We're looking for pioneers today. Who's going to be the pioneers for today? Think about King David. He was a pioneer, you know, a man after God's own heart, all out by himself, worshiping God. But God knew him and called him. He said, you know, you're going to be a pioneer for me. And he was the first loyal king to God. Think about it. And he was so loyal and such a pioneer of leading God's people right that Jesus himself came from his offspring. Mm. I mean, think about that. That's beautiful. Is that not beautiful?
That's so
beautiful. And of course, Jesus, think about it. Jesus was a pioneer when he came and brought salvation to us and paid the price and painted a way for us to have a relationship with him and God forever. And he painted it in his blood. He was a pioneer. Listen, it did not exist. There was not salvation before Jesus was born and walked this earth in a sinless life and died on the cross and was raised from the dead. Listen, outside of that pioneering work, we were lost and we were condemned, but he was a pioneer. He carried the love for you and the love for God in his heart, and he began to manifest in his own life, and God threw him a way to God. And then he painted and developed the land to right now. He's building mansions just over the hillside for you. He's building places for you, a place that we could have never gone. But because of his pioneering work, we're going to be able to go to heaven and live with God forever. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to rule and reign with him. But that was impossible outside the pioneering work of Jesus Christ. Mm. And then you think about the pioneering work of Paul. You know, Paul, which is on his donkey headed to Damascus, about to destroy and kill and enslave and ridicule the church. But you know what? When God touched him, he didn't know God existed, and he didn't know. He thought he was serving God, but he found out I wasn't serving God. But when he got the call of God in his life, he says, listen, you know, you're going to carry the gospel, this good news, this pathway, this future, this new way, the new way of walking in God to the Gentiles. He did a pioneering work. For if you're not Jewish, you're the Gentile. You know, if it wasn't for Paul and the pioneering work and his willingness to go out and begin to believe God for the Gentiles, you know, where we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. He was a pioneer. He carried it inside of him. He was beat, and he went back in the city that beat him. Mm-hmm. He laid on piles of rocks, probably trying to catch his breath. And listen, there was no rescue or no ambulance coming out to pick him up and doing first aid. They had to shake it off and go on. That's really scary. Lord, help us, strengthen us, God. You know, think about it. He was a pioneer, and he just went. He got on ships that wrecked. He was willing to go to prison when he didn't do anything wrong. He was willing to begin to cast the gospel at the king who was trying to do away with him. I mean, just amazing. He was a pioneer, writing letters and going to cities where the church didn't exist and exploding that was inside of him, and did a pioneering work in Ephesus and all these different cities, and all of a sudden the kingdom began to spread to the Gentiles. Why? Because Paul was a pioneer. I mean, you think about Dowie and Amy Semple McPherson, Mariah Eder, A.A. Allen, John G. Lake, over 5,000 churches. 5,000 churches in Africa. He was a pioneer. Listen, he encountered God. He got healed. He realized that this God that people talked about is real and that he heals, and he began to walk around in a kingly and priestly anointing, and healing houses opened up all around America, and 5,000 churches were planted in Africa. Why? Because John G. Lake was a pioneer. Catherine Kuhlman, a pioneer, willing to live in chicken coops, sleep in chicken coops,
sleep
in tents, to be able to do whatever, die 1,000 deaths. What? To be able to be a pioneer. A pioneer. Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and so many more. I mean, think about it. Pioneers. But this is the question. This is the question. Who will be the pioneers for God in this generation, the generation that you live in, when God says, who shall I send? Do you look around the room, or do you say what Isaiah said? Here I am. Send me.
Who will be the pioneers who will bring the good news of the kingdom of God to this generation? Who will be the pioneers who'll just step out from what's held God's people captive, who is disempowered the word of God, where it's a powerless gospel because we let men's traditions nullify its power. And the captive church is held captive by men's philosophies and traditions. And then who is going to say, you know what? These are false teachings. These are heresies. Listen, we need to move on from where we are. It's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be, and it's not as frivolous as the rebellious has made it out to be. It's a tension between a loyalty to Jesus and living and loving mankind for Jesus. Who will be the pioneers who will let God impart into them his direction for this generation and lead them, lead his people into this next season? Who will be the pioneers who will help today's church move forward and prepare for this season that we're about to face? Who are the pioneers? When God says, who will be the pioneer? Do you look around the room? Do people's names come to your mind? Do you think historically? Or do you step up, throw out your chest in a humble way and say, God, here I am. Here I am. I'll be a pioneer for you. And you have to understand this. This is why a lot of people say no, because they always want to be in the crowd. But let me tell you, this is what Jesus said. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few find it. Listen, pioneers walk through the gate, even if you got to turn sideways.
Mm-hmm.
The needle, the gate. They walk. They're willing to walk. You got to walk this walk. Don't listen to this wide road gospel that's out there that's saying, hey, we can just live in sin and we can do all these different things. It's no big deal. Listen, we're at a major turning point. But you know what? God always raises up pioneers, people right. that are willing to say, here I am, send me. But you know what? What does that mean? It's inside of you. It's the calls inside of you, and you're going to have to lead by your example. You're going to have to go cut the trees. You're going to have to go plant the soil and plant the seed and begin to paint what a city looks like and what this next move of God looks like and what's going to happen with the empowerment of all of God's people and the abiding relationship that says, listen, it's truly when God says that there's a day's coming when you will hear the voice of the Son of Man and you shall live, and that my sheep know my voice and follow none other. Listen, this religious stuff says you don't have to know the voice of God is a lie.
Mm.
But it's not hard to hear his voice if you'll quit listening to the voices who are not listening to God. This pioneering work is you have to be willing to be alone. It can be lonely in a place of leadership, but believe me, aren't you glad that Oral Roberts did what he did? Aren't you glad that General George Washington, President George Washington, did what he did? Aren't you glad that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did what he did? Aren't you glad that Abraham did what he did? Aren't you glad that Joseph did and David did? And aren't you glad that Jesus did what he did? Aren't you glad that Paul did what he did? Pioneering works. The question is, what are you going to do in your generation? Are you going to be a pioneer? If you are, we would love to hear from you. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.